Cue everybody. I'm going to get my bragging over with early. It's a real privilege to have the family here today. We had the national holiday of Mount Vernon this weekend, apple butter making days. Yeah. And I hope you went up and bought apple butter and walked around. And I don't know. It's the largest overpriced hot dog you'll ever buy, but you get a chips and a drink with it. So it helps a lot of things, actually. You know, these festivals that we have, and talks about agribusiness in our area. You know, Lawrence County is one of the top counties for agriculture in all our state, and we just kind of take it for granted because we get to see the rolling hills and the thing. I've often talked to Susan, you know, we're kind of city kids come to country, and we're kind of funny. And so in the heat, there were all these cows in the middle of the pond. And I said, Susan, this is a rare opportunity to see the crocodiles that are involved in Missouri, Lawrence County down here. So anyway, it's fun. And our girls, let me just go ahead and embarrass them once right now. Amy here is up at the front. She is the oldest of the three and works at a specialty shop up near the plaza. If you're up in Kansas City, you need to go by Andre's and get some chocolate. She's a chocolatier of the family, and she brought a goodie box that totally outdid the, well, all but the apple butter anyway, but did real well. So glad she's here. Abby is the one sitting by Susan in the back, and we are displaying bows on the granddaughters today. Christopher, her husband, had a chance to go to the Chiefs game, and so we said we would let him off the hook of coming to be introduced to Marionville as long as there's a victorious outcome this afternoon. So he is our ambassador there, and we have a connection. But Eliana is coming on 18 months old. And Abby is also expecting a second child. So we're at 2.5 grandkids right now, and we're happy about that. Then we have Amanda on the front row with her husband, Brian. They're the ones. Amanda's a physical therapist, and Brian is a physician assistant. And they have little Emery, who is coming on a year. And 1st of November is 1 year. So when we're, Susan and I are gone for a couple weeks here the first part of November, we're going down for the birthday. That's a big deal. And then we're going to stay down in Texas and let them take a little trip. They have had a lot of parenting responsibilities, and we're wanting the couple time. I think Gigi, Susan, is looking for another grandbaby is what I think, but we'll see how that comes out. There I said it in church, all right? But, you know, when my dad would introduce us, I always got so self-conscious. My dad he worked for Ford Motor Company. And he would walk around and he would say, I work for Ford Motor Company. But he'd hold up a picture of the family. He said, but this is the company I work for. And I've just always remembered that. And I as time has gone on, I've come to understand that so much better. This is really the company we work for and we get to do. So happy to have them here, and yeah, he's wanting to be nice. I'm proud of that too. However, when we're all together, man, they're expensive. So I'm kind of glad that at the end of the day, we're gonna go buy price one more high price thing and send everybody back home. But we pray for safe journeys, and you know, God has really blessed us with our families. I tell you, and I tell myself, I love being a pastor. I love being the children's pastor. I love at Bible school what we did and how the kids look at you in that role. And that's cool, but you know, there's some other person out there that you're the only dad, you're the only mom, you're the only grandpa, you're the only great-grandparent that those folks are ever going to know. And that is a high calling. So it really does matter, and it's good stuff. All right, well, we're going to go ahead. I appreciate the family coming. It's not like they've never had to listen to me before, but they come and they put up with it really, really nice, and it's good stuff. So a couple housekeeping items. Hey, way to go, First Baptist Marionville. We popped the top out of that Missouri Mission Offering goal, $1,500, where the numbers in the bulletin. But we didn't say that much about it, and in 3 weeks' time, you guys are behind that. We're going to go to the Missouri Baptist Convention in 2 weeks, and we're going to strut around holding our head up high because we not only have held the line throughout the bread and butter basic things, but we did the extra on top, and I'm really proud of you for that. But that moves us right into then the rest of the fall season in our church. And as you can see, we've got the shoe boxes here. It's time to be getting ahead of that. You know, it's embarrassing. I do better for the foreign mission thing sometimes than I do for the family. I mean, it isn't Christmas Eve yet. What are we worried about? Things aren't on sale. So, you know, there's a few growth areas in my life. But shoebox time, it's time to get that out because right around Thanksgiving, those have to get out the door or they will never get abroad the way they need to. So we've started that. We've got the code exchange that's out there. We're talking about candy and first stop. That's just 2.5-3 weeks away. So really appreciate your support with that. And wanted to make an announcement that next Sunday, we're going to gather together as the church family. And in our last deacon meeting, those that were able to be there, they said the 20th was the best time for us to come together and do the Lord's Supper. So I want to celebrate our family togetherness with that common bond of loyalty and love for Jesus. So we're going to make time. We're going to make time in that as well. And I think I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to announce it as though it's next week, but it might actually be in 2 weeks. I've been doing a little homework about our church and realized that over a period of the last 5 years or so, we've kind of put a bunch of stuff on the burner and said, yeah, we're going to do this. And it still hasn't all gotten done. There's no crime in that by any means, but I'm saying, you know, I think we need a business meeting where we just kind of put all that out there again and go, right now, in the time of transition, it may not be that important. And I would like to officially, in the record, just kind of put it on the side burner and we're all good with it. So I'm thinking next week I'll say, hey, here's some stuff that's been hanging out for a long time. Let's just tidy things up a little bit. Let's say we're really working on this, but no, right, that may happen, but it may happen later. I just want to say this is a front burner item and this is not a front burner item. So I'll at least have a list for us to talk about and think about, and then might ask you to come together as a business meeting to say, you know what, we're going to hit pause, still good ideas, all these great things going, but we as a group can only get so much done at one time, okay? So with that in mind, and still believing you brought me here to transition us, we may hit pause on a few things over here so we can hit the gas on this over here, and then as God moves us forward, they're still on the table, and we'll just put them back in the hopper and go forward. So just a little warning that I've messed with the schedule a lot, but I haven't forgot stuff, and at the bare minimum, I need to give you a little notice of what we're doing. So that's what that's about, okay? So take your Bible today, and we're going to talk about the question. By the way, No offense to Trevor, but I think the relatives I brought to church are better looking than the ones he brought to church. Couldn't resist that one. Couldn't resist that one. We're in the book of Hebrews today. So the far right of the Bible, toward the end of the New Testament, Hebrews chapter 10, and we're going to read verses 19 to 25. This is actually, over time, become one of my favorite passages of all the Bible. And it lays out a few key fundamental doctrinal pieces, but then it immediately shifts and says, because those doctrinal things are true, this is how we're supposed to live. And that's under the banner of what I'm saying today, why we come to church. This is how we're supposed to live. And it comes out of this great doctrine. So it's on the screen, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19. Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have boldness to enter the sanctuary through the blood of Jesus, he has inaugurated for us a new and living way through the curtain, that is, through his flesh. And since we have a great high priest over the house of God, Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed in pure water. Let us hold on to the confession of our hope without wavering, since he who promised is faithful. And let us watch out for one another to provoke love and good works, not neglecting to gather together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging each other, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Now, it's kind of hard to give you the whole book of Hebrews in a nutshell. It's a heavy-duty book, but it's a book that kind of translates the Old Testament into the New Testament. When it talks about Jesus being a great high priest, well, we don't need a priest. Jesus is our priest. But coming out of Judaism, where there was a high priest, the tribe of Levi, all the stuff we talk about in the Old Testament, it focuses in Jesus. And when it says he went behind the veil, that is the picture of the Day of Atonement, where that one day a year with the bowl of blood from a perfect sacrifice, the high priest would pull back the veil of the temple and walk into the holiest place. And there he would sprinkle that blood on the mercy seat, showing that God's wrath was satisfied with a blood offering. And so it's kind of hard to explain all of that because we didn't grow up in the synagogue and we don't do sacrifices. The closest thing we get to is a steak dinner sometimes, you know, and we have a whole different view of that. And we understand that the Lord's Supper is a symbol of Christ's blood and Christ's flesh. So Hebrews, the writer of Hebrews, was helping the Gentile Christians understand what it meant for the Jewish Christians to place their faith in Jesus. So we're talking about that, and I'm going to review just a little of what we talked about last week and then get into kind of a 1-2-3 about what we're supposed to do. So if I could have the next slide there. Last week we talked about everything being permissible. That Paul said, no, we're not bound by the old Jewish laws. That the dietary rules, the rituals and the regulations, all of the things the Pharisees said about work, you know, Jesus would heal guys on the Sabbath deliberately to say, take up your pallet and go home. And the Pharisees got all bent out of shape out of that. And Jesus was saying, you know, it's about your relationship with God, not about the rituals that you keep. And so that was message one. Everything is permissible. But message two that Paul was saying to the church is, now you can just do whatever you want to because there's freedom in Jesus, but it doesn't all get you the same mileage. You can walk around in this multicultural Roman world, and you can say, I can eat meat that had been offered at the Corinthian temple, and it doesn't affect my relationship with Jesus. That's true. It's permissible. What it does affect is your relationship with the weaker brother. You came out of Judaism, but he's coming out of idolatry. And he finds it offensive that you would eat what was a part of his old pagan worship. So while it's permissible, it's not profitable. While it's okay to do this thing, it's not taking you where you want to go. You are not building up the church, even though you have the right to do it. So what Paul is really saying, if I could put it in Gilmore language, it's like, think, brother. Be smart about what you're doing. If you want to bring the kingdom of God to the lost, you better have an agenda and a way that you will go about it that is effective in reaching the culture where God put you. Now that's hard. And you know what's really hard? Is today I'm starting in the Old Testament, like how the Jews used to do it, and then we just went to the New Testament, and we've begun to think about what would have Paul said about Facebook, or the internet, or television, or the movies that everyone can go see? What would Paul say to First Baptist Church of Marionville about Apple Fest? because it might not be the same thing that you all do down here in Marionville. I was always asking, what does God say to First Baptist Church Mount Vernon about apple butter making days? Now, we talked about our association. Round Grove makes the apple butter and sells it. And we bought a bag of that, and they put a little tract in that, and they were being relevant to the culture 20 miles away from us by joining in the Apple Butter Day Festival and putting in a witness for Jesus along the way. But they were sure to charge me the full $6 a jar along the way. I thought that was interesting also. Let's go to the next slide. We talked last week about nuts and bolts, and what we're saying is what God has called us to do, however we get it done, God has called us to proclaim Jesus as Lord and usher His kingdom into the hearts and lives of people around us. Now, Mount Vernon isn't going to do that for us. Round Grove isn't going to do that for us. We don't have to do it the way they do it, and we don't. But we must do it. That is the Great Commission. We are to use, as Trevor was sharing with us today, we're to use our giftedness. We're to use the skills that God has given us to be a blessing to other people. And the church working together, we can do more in our cooperative effort by working together as a congregation than I or my family could do by ourselves. I can buy a bag of candy and I can put a tract in the trick-or-treat bag, but it isn't the same as what we can all do together by doing First Stop, or by doing a fifth quarter, or by doing Vacation Bible School, or the back-to-school thing, or the nursing home ministry, or the hymn sings, or whatever. So what I'm trying to get across to our church is God has called us to be His people right here, right now. And there's no other generation right here, right now. It's up to us. We can do what we want. But we need to be smart about what we do, and we need to be deliberate about what we do. And thus, Gilmore turns into Mr. Nuts and Bolts going, there's a process that works better than just everybody thinking, I'll do this and you do that, and hopefully it'll all come together. Which is the next slide here, where I've talked about the bottom line for me, as a leader in this moment of time, my question that I'm asking about everything, and it isn't personal, it isn't mad, it isn't whatever, but it's the question, why are we doing it? Because if it doesn't fit the mission of our church, it doesn't make sense. Now, we can do target practice two ways. The smart way is when you line up the sights and you load the weapon and you zero in and you get the scope and you sniper shot that round down the way. The other way is the way I do target practice. I shoot against the wall and then I get out my pen and I go draw the circles around it. And it looks like I hit it. What are y'all laughing at me for? I know lots of churches who do ministry just like that. Well, we meant good, and we spent some money, and we let everybody know we wanted them to come, and we prayed, and we gave opportunity, we gave the invitation every Sunday, and then when it's all over, and we had two come forward instead of 20 come forward, we draw a circle around it and say, wasn't God good? And God was good. I mean, I'm glad I can hit the side of a barn. That's really good for me. That's why they don't let chaplains have weapons, honest. But the rest of the story is, that's not the way to win the war. That's not the way to change the culture. And so what Paul is telling the Hebrews who came out of Judaism, and he's telling the new Christians who came out of paganism, he's bringing them together in Jesus, and he's saying everything's permissible, but does it meet the mission? Does it accomplish the goal? It's permissible, but did it build up the body of Christ? And Paul was telling Corinth last week, He says, you haven't applied your theology very well at all. If Jesus is Lord, that means you've got to change. You may change differently than brother so-and-so may change, but to be under the lordship of Jesus means everybody moves under his umbrella. We don't move Jesus our way. We go to where he is. And if I'm a Jewish believer and I have to get along with people who are different from me, that's going to be an adjustment. And oh yeah, the Corinthian, out of paganism, they had to go, well, Judaism is like 4,000 years old. What has that got to do with following Jesus today? And you can see the culture going on in Corinth where Paul says, no, when you have the Lord's Supper, you eat and drink at home, and you come and you understand that there are people who come to eat the shared meal at the church that they don't have food anywhere else. And you embarrass them and you mock Jesus when you come and get drunk at church when other people don't have enough. And what Paul is doing is issue after issue, how the ladies dress, how the men should teach, how the deacons should comport themselves. Who's got the leading cheer? Are we fans of Apollos or are we fans of Paul? And Paul is going, you're missing the whole thing. We are all under the lordship of Jesus Christ. And let me show you a better way. Love is patient. Love is kind. Now abide these three things, faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love. So, if it doesn't meet our mission in our day to reach our community, I'm asking the question, then why are we going to do it? And the form that I have isn't the perfect form, isn't the right way, it isn't everything, but there's a little thing out here we talked about. It's this thing. If you want to use the church, if you want to use the budget offerings, if you want to be under the banner of First Baptist Church of Marionville, show us your plans. We're Missourians. It's just courtesy to know what other people are thinking. I get up here and I ask you to give money to the Missouri Missions offering, but I also told you where we're going to use that money. I also showed you that Brother Terry took a van and he went down and he did the state evangelism thing. That's Missouri Missions. Well, we're going to do the same thing here. I've asked Trevor, write out what you got in the youth. What are you thinking of? How does that go? How much time does that take? How many volunteers does that take? Because we're going to be asking everybody in the church to work together. And so I have 10 more forms down here. I want you to know, I do these things at night at home. As the transitional pastor, I want to have a church memories workshop. Well, what are we going to do? Why are we going to do that? What do I hope to get out of that? And I get, ladies and gentlemen, please hear me carefully. There are some things we ought to do just because we're a family and we have fun. We have a slide, a blue elephant slide in my living room today because it's fun. I can't get Brian to get off the thing. But it's fun. And I want to do some things just because it's fun. Did you see the slides, the pictures we had where we took the school bus and the kids went down to the corn maze and we did hot dogs out here and all that? That was fun. That was great. Every now and then. But the main thing of what we're about is getting those kids here because we get here and we sing and then we go study our Bible and we learn about Jesus along the way. So I want it. And you know what? I put on here one of the things. What do you hope to get out of this? One of the actual things is a good time was had by all. I wrote it, just check the box. I want to have fun. It's okay. Well, how much does that fun cost? Do we have enough money? How much? You know, we had a fish fry, right? Followed by a big breakfast, right? Followed by a hot dog thing. Well, maybe next year we'll spread those out a little bit. But unless we see the whole menu, I don't know what we're dealing with. So I'm asking you to humor me. But I'm also saying, you know what? This is a good way to do church. Because we are seeing who we're reaching. And we're working together in that. And then when we dedicate these offerings here and we ask you to pitch in, you're going to be able to see that that translates right back into ministry where we're doing Great Commission business in Marionville and all the world. All right, so we have until the 27th. I would love these pieces of paper back. And then we're going to go do babysitting. I get to be grandpa for 2 whole weeks. And it was on the list before I came. So it's finally coming due. I'm taking it. No doubt about it. But with that in mind, I'm doing... Boy, you can't buy that. You know, that was just perfect timing. No, what I'll do is I'll be taking all that... I already have a notebook this big where things are... I'm putting it in the notebook. And when I'm down there... I'm going to be writing out, well, hey, this looks like the stuff we're going to do. This looks like the time we're going to do it. This looks like about how much that costs. And this looks like about how many folks we need to help make that happen. And then we're going to pull that all together and come back. And at that front part of December, we're going to say, hey, we've prayed over it. Everybody's made a contribution. This is the shared dream and the vision of our church. And we're going to have a glorious, short business meeting where we say, this is the budgeteers have come together and we got that going. This is the calendar come together. We're going to wrap it all, put a bow on it, and offer it to the Lord and say, Lord, with your grace, with your empowerment. And I loved what Terry just brought up. Lord, some of it seems impossible, but it's not if you're in it. I don't want to shoot the wall and draw the circle around it. I want to aim for the target, Marionville, Missouri. And it is right in the crosshairs. What can we do together to impact Marionville and from there go into all the world? Okay, so there's the process. Now, three points and I actually have a poem. All right? Why do we come to church? Why do we come to church? The lady actually came in my office, and I tell you what, folks get really bold these days. We're used to Facebook where we can just go bleh, and no one cares. Well, this lady came into my office and went bleh all over me. No joke. We were talking about her daughter who had gone to camp, and she said, well, you know, preacher, it's possible to be a Christian and not go to church. And even if, you know, we don't have to go to this church in this town to be a good Christian. And I said, you know, you're right. But there's reasons we come to church. There's reasons we attend. And I'm not saying you have to join mine, but I disagree with that idea. You really cannot be a good Christian without being connected to the body of Christ. And I said, I'm not here to make spiritual decisions for you and about your children, dad and mom. I will do everything I can to help dad and mom, but I am not the spiritual guide for your kids. Neither is Trevor. We are your coaches. We are your encouragers. We are advisors. But it's up to you to be the spiritual lead in your home. And I said, well, let's see what happens. I know you can go to heaven if you don't go to church, but I don't think you're going to enjoy the Christian life very much if you're not connected to God's people. And you know what? By the time I left that church about 5 years later, that young lady never got connected with a peer group that was a support and an encouragement to her. And I haven't been there in a lot of years, but I'm very confident I could describe her lifestyle to you today, and it is not one that honors God. I had another person come up to me and say, Pastor, I am so disappointed in you and in this church. I'm so disappointed, I think I'm going to leave. Bleh. Well, thank you very much. You know, I work hard just to disappoint you every week. And that was more what I wanted to say. That wasn't what I said. What I did say was this. I said, well, I want God's will for your life. And if you are a better Christian, not being a member of the church I'm at, then you ought to obey God and go where you can be the best Christian you can be. I said, but I don't think that that's now in your life, and I don't think that you got a better spot to go to. Because there's some unfinished business in your world, and when God is finished using our church as the tool in the master's hand to shape and sculpt you, then I think you're ready to go. But you know what? You just went all over me. I said, let me back at you. I want you where God wants you, and I will help you get there when you're ready. Now, that person eventually did leave my church. It was about 5 years later. And I blessed them as they went because I think God did grow them along the journey. And you know what? That's part of being alive. That's part of changing. That's part of being adapted. That's part of being obedient. God may sometimes just ask you to get out of your comfort zone just to see if you really will obey Him or not. So, then the worst one, the church has hurt me so bad, I don't know that I can ever go back there. Those people down there, they've hurt me so bad. And I know you've heard this story, but it just seems to fit here so well, about the guy who got up one morning and he's talking to his wife. He's sitting on the edge of the bed, and it's Sunday morning, and he goes, oh, I just dread. I need to get up and, you know, I need to Not dress down, but not dress up, but I need to get my clothes on. I need to find my Sunday school book, and I need to get my Bible. I need to go down there. I need to make coffee. He says, I just don't want to go to church today. And he says, well, honey, you know, this is really a bad attitude. You shouldn't have that attitude. Why do you have that? Well, they talk bad about me down there. They don't want to cooperate with things, you know. And he finally looked at his wife, and he said, give me one good reason why I ought to go to church today. And she says, because you're the pastor? I don't know. That's one of those jokes you can turn every which way. That's why it's always so popular. Real fast, real quick, three reasons why we go to church. In verse 22, we go to church to stay close. Let us draw near to God with a full assurance. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the Old Testament picture of that Day of Atonement when the priest would set apart the veil, the Holy of Holies, and he walked in with the bowl of blood and he sprinkled the mercy seat. What we don't understand is on that day, the nation of Israel would gather around the temple because that was as close to the presence of God as they could get. The veil would open. The relationship between God and man. There was that moment when the priest would enter in, that there was an opening to heaven. And all the people would gather around and they would sing praises before the priest went in. And they would bow down and they would say like Isaiah, holy, holy, holy is the Lord. And then the priest would walk in. That was as close as they could get to God. And the writer of Hebrews is saying, let's draw near to God because of Jesus being our high priest, because his body was the veil. It was torn in two. We, through him, have direct access to God. Let's draw near to God. Let's go be with the Lord in the house of the Lord. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. When we come to God's house in reverence and faith, when we come seeking forgiveness, we stay close to the heart of God. All right, now I've given you this whole thing about, hey, Gilmore wants us to do church like this. But let me balance it out and let you know I'm trying to be really down the middle here. So often we worry about all the wrong things on a Sunday morning. I care what the number is on the Sunday school board because it isn't a number that came to church. That was a person who came to church. It bothers me that there are 20 fewer people here today than were here last week. Why? I never figure that out. Why don't they want to be close to the heart of the Lord? But the big things that happen at church, isn't just the number. It isn't about nickels and noses. It isn't about who dropped their gum wrapper on the floor or who forgot to wash the dishes in the sink. It isn't about the kids running around or making too much noise. I don't know who squirted all the liquid soap all over the bathroom. It's not my deal. I don't know who said what to who about whatever and on and on. I am not here to run a perfect organization. We're here to draw near to the Lord Jesus Christ. Make sense? James said, when we draw near to God, He draws near to us. So, hey, it matters that we run the vans. It matters that we do that. It matters that the lights work and the building is warm or cold or whatever we're trying to balance. But it doesn't matter near as much as following Jesus. And it matters how we put the budget together. It matters how we put the calendar together. But it matters only because we're drawing close to the Lord Jesus Christ. We come to church to draw close. We come to church, secondly, to stay strong. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope. Now, in our world today, we're not like the old timers. There's 168 hours in every week. I ask you for Sunday school. I ask you for morning worship. I ask you for 2 hours on Wednesday night. And in one of those times, everyone ought to be serving the Lord. And in one of those times, everybody ought to be getting something from the fellowship. And the rest of that time, we just all ought to be together loving Jesus. 4 hours out of 168 a week. Keep you strong. I see it over and over again. Why do I care about attendance and why do I spend my time logging it in the computer? Because now I can look up a family and I can say, have they been attending? Because if they're here, I know they're staying strong. If they're here, their kids are involved in the program or the youth group or whatever, I know they're giving, they're serving, they're blessing, and they're being blessed. They're holding fast the confession, the agreement, the statement of faith. They're living out the Christian life. And you'll see it happen. Well, we got busy or someone gets sick and there's a little blip, you know, the dots go and then there's a gap. And then we kind of get back on track, but then there's another gap. And before long, there's more gap than there are dots. And after a while, then we're looking around going, well, where's the so-and-so family? Well, what happened? You know, they used to come regularly. Well, I care about that, but what I really care about is what's going on at home. They're falling away. They're not staying strong in their faith. If you don't, I know it's an effort to get here on a Sunday morning, but if you're not making the effort once a week, do I really think you're making the effort every morning before breakfast that we got a little scripture vitamin before we go to work? No, man, it probably means we're just hanging on and we're slipping. And I can tell you the strength of our families, the strength of our homes depends on staying strong together in the church. I can take you to a school and we could look at those kids and we can tell you the kind of home they're coming from. And I don't care if it's my church or the church down the way or the church of what's happening now. It just makes an incredible difference. We need that difference. And we need to model that role and we need to stay strong in our own Christian life. And we've got to care about our homebound. Man, what a blessing have you here. How hard it is to stay strong when you're home, all alone. All that fellowship, all that encouragement, all that strength. I don't know, I'm ready to use my cell phone and say, if you'll call me at halfway through the Sunday school hour, we'll do a check-in and we'll have prayer together, and here's the 3 points in the poem. Wish you were here. But we can do that today. We can do it with our technology. It's wonderful. We come to church to stay close to the Lord. We come to church to stay strong. And finally, we come to church to stay in touch. Let us provoke one another. Let us stimulate one another. Let's motivate one another to deeds of love. Real Christianity cares about other people. And we have to stay in touch. What Paul was saying is you're going to fall away because you're not gathering yourselves together as is the habit of some. Don't do that. I don't like the word provoke. I was really good provoker when I was about 12 years old. Me and my younger brother, we provoked each other an awful lot in church and we got in trouble. But that's kind of what it is. It's kind of needling every one another. Hey, we haven't seen you here. Hey, we need help with the fish fry. Hey, we've got a Sunday school class that's open. Hey, we haven't seen you here. Poke, 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 poke. In a good way. Let us stimulate one another to love and good deeds. That word encourage is the word Jesus used of the Holy Spirit. It's the word parakaleko. One called alongside to help. God has called you alongside my wonderful family, and you're a blessing to us right now. We need you. We need you to motivate us. I need you to know my family so you can help me be the dad and the grandpa that I need to be. And I want to be that for you. We need that in every Sunday school class. We need that for every kid who rides our van. We need that all the time. We are called alongside one another to help. It was Florence Nightingale doing her best to comfort a dying soldier. And she gave him water and she gave him comfort. And he finally, with his final words, he looks at her and he says, "You are Christ to me." All right, I promised you a poem. The famous author, unknown, has written this. It's called, "It Isn't the Church, It's You." If you want to have the kind of a church like the kind of a church you like, you needn't slip your clothes in a grip and start on a long, long hike. You'll only find what you left behind, for there's nothing really new. It's a knock at yourself when you knock your church. It isn't the church, it's you. When everything seems to be going wrong and trouble seems everywhere brewing, when prayer meeting, young people's meeting and all seem simmering, slowly stewing, just take a look at yourself and say, what's the use of being blue? Are you doing your bit to make things a hit? It isn't the church, it's you. It's really strange sometimes, don't you know, that things go as well as they do when you think of the little, the very small mite we add to the work of the few. We sit and stand round and complain of what's done and do very little but fuss. But are we bearing our share of the burdens to bear? It may not be the church, it's us. So if you want to have the kind of a church like the kind of a church you like, put off your guile, put on your best smile, and hike, my brother. Just hike to the work in hand that has to be done, the work of saving a few. It isn't the church that's wrong, my boy. It isn't the church. It's you. Lord Jesus, you died for the church. You gave us the church as a gift. You gave us the church as a part of being your bride and as a part of showing your love in all the world. And Lord, my intent today is not to pick on the faithful ones here who do so many great and wonderful things, but it's a reminder to us to just always keep your purposes for the church front and center, to draw close to you, to stay strong in our faith, and to motivate one another to serve in love. Thank you for our church, Lord. We celebrate that today. Bless our invitation in Jesus' name.